Who remembers anything from yesterday's class? Yes, right in the purport, yes, in the commentaries too. Yes. Anyone remember anything else? Yes. Yes. Adishtayam, manistayam, vishaya upasevate. And it is not difficult to become liberated from the gross body. And remember all those amazing descriptions of what the word gross means. So when we say gross body, we mean gross body. This body is gross. It is neither refined nor subtle. It is disfigured. It is inevitably disfigured in old age too. But it is not hard to become liberated from the gross body, because death will do that automatically. The gross body will be left behind, just as we heard in the Paranjana story. It was left behind. He was driven from it. He was driven from his gross body. And it was crushed and turned into dust. This is the inevitable liberation of the soul from the gross body. But becoming liberated from the subtle body is very, very subtle and extremely difficult. Why? Because it is in the subtle body that all the desires rest. All our karma rests within that subtle body. The subtle and gross desires, they are all there. Anyone remember anything else? Yes, no, anyone? Yes. And then what happens? When he makes them visible at once. Yes. They are vanquished. Now, what does it take to vanquish the whole stockpile of desires? The whole karma. Was it karma? Desires. But it's all in the form of desires. What does it take? Was that a hand raise or a... Yeah, but what does it take? Think of what it, but what does it actually take?
We must be willing.
Yes, there has to be a complete disinterest and an aversion for acting on this platform. I don't want any longer to try to attempt to become happy independently of Krishna. Krishna bhule se jeev anadiya bahi muk. Why? I don't want to turn my back on Krishna anymore because atta eva maya tari, it means samsareta duk. It means being separated from my Krishna bhakti rasita bhavato mati, from my relationship with Krishna, from Krishna consciousness. And what is worth that? I remember you told me about Gauri. Just a few days before she left this world, she was in her room in Vrindavan. She was dying of cancer. What did she have? And suddenly she said, "No, it's not worth it." Yes? You don't remember? Something like that. Yes, she said, "It's not worth it." So what isn't worth it? This is the way I remember that you told me. She just said, "No, it's not worth it." And Jagtarini asked her, "What's not worth it? What were you thinking of?" And she said, "I was thinking about," because she was served in the Los Angeles temple for many years, and across the street there was a restaurant, Govinda's restaurant, yes? And in it they sold nachos, these corn chips with avocado spread. Sounds good, yes? And she was thinking of that. That thought, that desire was in her mind just a few days before she was leaving. I would like to taste some of that again. Because one by one, as we near death, all the senses, the ability of all our senses, they leave us. The life air is withdrawn from each of those senses. And the last sense to leave is what? Does anyone know? The hearing, ability to hear. So fortunate. So we can hear Krishna's holy names, Krishna's special arrangement. So when Gauri Mataji was thinking, oh, I would like to taste this. She said, no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to take another birth just to taste that. It's not worth it for anything, anything of the material world, because samsarita duk. So again, this is what Sanat Kumar had taught. He had taught Prithu Maharaj quite a few chapters ago that his instruction was to develop detachment from the bodily concept of life, which includes all the desires that we wish to fulfill. And, on the other side, gain attachment for Krishna. So, it's not worth it. There is no desire, and we must truly become convinced of this. The gross desires are easier to renounce than the subtle desires. Sometimes we're not even conscious of our subtle desires. Labha, puja, pratishtari, yata, upasaka, gan. Mahaprabhu describes these as weeds around our devotional service. Upasaka, gan. Labha, puja, desires, greediness, desires to be worshipped, to accumulate things, pratishta, adi, so many others. These are all weeds that can come in the guise of the bhakti lata. And we have to not desire to cultivate these, because if we cultivate weeds, instead of the bhakti lata, we will have very luxuriant weeds. They will suck up all the hearing water of the hearing and chanting that we give it. And we will have very luxuriant weeds. But we won't have the actual goal, the actual fruit of the bhakti lata, which is, of course, prema bhakti. So as Kapila Muni describes in the third canto, this subtle body should be dissolved by devotional service. And the process of dissolving it is devotional service. And it brings us to the point where one gives up all false identities based on being the center of the universe, which are based on false ego, which is the most fine and subtle covering over the soul. And it places us as a servant of Krishna. That is the removal of the false ego. So this all is the product of the citta, or this ahankar, or false ego, is an aspect or a function of the citta, or of the consciousness. And devotional service, as we heard yesterday, is a change of consciousness. A change of consciousness. So we'll continue with, and Krishna willing, conclude these teachings of Narada Muni to Prachini Bharishat. This is text 75. Yes, we read 75 yesterday, I'll read it again. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Transmigration of the soul, the giving up gross body, and being the soul being carried by the subtle body to a new gross body based on What? The desires. Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam. Yes, what we give up. Tyajan yante kalevo. At the end of the body, we give it up. The gross body, what we are longing for, what our mind is attached to. The gross body, the next gross body will come according to that. Sadatad bhava bharata. This is the rule. This is always what occurs. Sada, it always occurs. So thus the soul, according, and in the previous verse it described the 16 coverings, subtle body coverings around the soul. Thus the soul becomes subjected to different types of enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, unhappiness. Subject to and whipped and controlled by these different emotions and feelings and thoughts. Happiness, misery. And then trying to pull the happiness and push away the misery. And in this way acting to in a self-centered way and becoming deeply entangled in the material world. 76-77. An example to show what happens at the time of death. The caterpillar, and the word here is Trinajalukyam, and this word is also used, you know, we were speaking yesterday how the same topic of transmigration was spoken by Vasudev to whom? To Kamsa, and the same little creature is described by Vasudev, this little caterpillar or a little worm. The worm, the plant worm or the grass worm, that he's on one leaf, and then as he's transferring himself to the other leaf, he has a specific way to do it. He doesn't just jump. He's on one leaf and doesn't jump and land on the other leaf. What he does is half his body, he walks over and grabs on with the front part of his body to the next leaf, and then gradually when he's secure on that next leaf, then the back part of his body also moves over. So this Vasudevan here, Narada Muni, compared to the process of transmigration, because the subtle body first moves through its desires to a suitable condition, a suitable mentality that will attract the gross body. And then when the subtle body is securely on that, then the rest of the body moves over like the worm. So here's that verse. The caterpillar transports itself from one leaf to another by capturing one leaf before giving up the other. Similarly, according to his previous work, the living entity must capture another body before giving up the one he has. This is because the mind is the reservoir of all kinds of desires. Adishtayam, manashtayam, visha upasevate. What is that? Gandham, ivor, vaya. Gandham is just as the fragrance. The air carries the fragrance. The subtle body carries the soul to the next gross body. Here's Prabhupada's purport. A living entity is too much absorbed, or too much, a living entity too much absorbed in material activity becomes very much attracted to the material body. Even at the point of death, he thinks of his present body and the relatives connected to it. Thus he remains fully absorbed in the bodily conception of life, so much so that even at the point of death, he abhors leaving his present body. Sometimes it is found that a person on the verge of death remains in a coma for many days before giving up his body. That is common among so-called leaders and politicians who think that without their presence, the entire country and all society will be in chaos. So much attachment is there. They don't know where they're going and they're worried about everyone else, just like Paranjana was. This is called Maya. Political leaders do not like to leave their political posts, and they either have to be shot by an enemy or obliged to leave by the arrival of death. By superior arrangement, a living entity is offered another body, but because of his attraction to the present body, he does not like to transfer himself to another body. Thus he is forced to accept another body by the laws of nature. So that next body is based on his current mind before he leaves his body. Here is what, how it's described. The same thing is described by Vasudeva. There's a few pages, there's verses in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, in the second chapter, first chapter. And here is how it's described. This is Vasudeva preaching to Kamsa. As soon as the present body stops functioning and mixes with the five elements of material nature, the living entity within the body accepts another body according to his present action and reaction. It is just like when a man walks on the street. He puts forward his foot. And when he is confident that his foot is situated on sound ground, he lifts the other foot. In this way, one after another, the bodies change and the soul transmigrates. See how the plant worm changes from one twig to another so carefully. Similarly, the living entity changes his body as soon as the higher authorities decide on his next body. As soon as the living entity is conditioned within this material world, he must take material bodies one after another. His next particular body is offered by the laws of nature according to the actions and reactions of this life. This body is exactly like one of the bodies which we always see in dreams. During our dream of sleep, we create so many bodies according to our mental creation. We have seen gold, and we have also seen a mountain. So in a dream, we can see a golden mountain by combining the two ideas. This concept was also exactly expressed by Narada Muni to King Prachinibharishad. Sometimes in dreams, we see that we have a body which is flying in the sky. And at that time, we completely forget our present body. Similarly, these bodies are changing. When you have one body, you forget the past body. During a dream, we make contact with so many new kinds of bodies. But when we are awake, we forget them all. And actually, these material bodies are the creation of our mental activities. So Krishna consciousness is so much a mental cultivation. It is not sufficient just to have the physical activity of Krishna consciousness. One must mentally cultivate Krishna consciousness as well. And then, of course, through the affection, then the Krishna consciousness is evoked. And actually, these material bodies are creations of our mental activities, but at the present moment, we do not recollect our past bodies. The nature of the mind is flickering. Sometimes it accepts something and immediately rejects the same thing. Accepting and rejecting is the process of the mind in contact with the five objects of sense gratification: form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. In its speculative way, the mind comes in touch with the objects of sense gratification. And when the living entity desires a particular type of body, he gets it. Therefore, the body is an offering by the laws of material nature. The living entity accepts a body and comes out again into the material world to enjoy or suffer according to the construction of the body. Unless we have a particular type of body, we cannot enjoy or suffer according to our mental proclivities inherited from the previous life. The particular type of body is actually offered to us according to our mental condition at the time of death. The luminous planets like the sun, moon, or stars reflect themselves in different types of reservoirs like water, oil, or ghee. The reflection moves according to the movement of the reservoir. The reflection of the moon is on the water, and the moving water makes the moon also appear to be moving. But actually, the moon is not moving. Similarly, by mental concoction, the living entity attains different types of bodies, although actually he has no connection with such bodies. But on account of illusion, being enchanted by the influence of Maya, the living entity thinks that he belongs to a particular type of body. That is the way of conditioned life. And that bodily identification is so strong. And Prabhupada said, compared to that, the intoxication of the body, all other intoxications are like salt and pepper, just added spice. The body is the attachment to the body is the main intoxication that disallows the soul to understand who he is. Suppose a living entity is now in a human form of body. He thinks that he belongs to the human community or a particular country or particular place. He identifies himself in that way and unnecessarily prepares for another body, which is not required by him. Such desires and mental concoctions are the cause of different types of bodies. So what are you hearing from this? What are you understanding? What should be coming to the consciousness? What realizations? It's not worth it. What else? Yeah, that's quite amazing. What else? Nothing to do with it. Swapna eva ivahasa. It's like a dream. We have nothing to do with the body, and we don't have anything to do with the mind's desires either on the material level. And this is the identification that we have. And that must be changed. This is the mental cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Those identifications must be changed to what? Jivera Sarapoi Krishna Nitya Das Gopi Bharata Parakamalaya Dasa Dasakadas. The covering influence of the material nature is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in whatever body he gets. And he identifies with that body with great pleasure. Therefore, I beg to request you not to be overwhelmed by the dictation of your mind and body. Kamsa was holding Devaki by the hair, and he was fearing for his life. He had put down the horse's reins, picked up Devaki with his left hand by the hair, and he was about to kill her with his sword. Just to protect his body, fearing his own death. So Vasudeva is requesting, don't be so caught up with your body and your mind, including all the fears. This is the point that was given in the previous verse. This is all this so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. We are subjected to those. It is not us. We are subjected to them by the power of Maya. And our attachment to the concepts of ourselves as the body and the mind and as the enjoyer ultimately. We'll go on. And later on in the purport, Prabhupada explains this again in the purport to 76-77. The root cause of one's association with the body is the mind. This great Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest boon to human society because it is teaching everyone to think always of Krishna by executing devotional service. In this way, at the end of life, one may be transferred to the association of Krishna. This is technically called Nitya Lila Pravishta, entering into the planet Goloka Vrindavan. Bhagavad Gita 18:55 explains, Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas tasmi chatpata Tato mam visate taranantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. After the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one can enter the planet known as Golok Vrindavan. To enter the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand Krishna. The process of understanding Krishna is devotional service. After understanding Krishna as He is, one can become eligible to enter Krishna Loka and associate with Him. The mind is the cause of such an exalted position. Bandurat matmanastasya yenat maivat manajitaha anatmanastu shatruve varte tatmaiva shatruvai. If one can somehow become attached to Krishna mentally, attached to Krishna, then the mind is the best friend to Krishna's beauty, to His pastimes, His form, to His holy name. Then the mind becomes one's best friend. And to be attached to anything else of the material world with the mind is our enemy, because it's ultimately going to cause our rebirth and taking more and more. Atta eva maya tari samsareta duk, the miseries of birth and death. So the mind is cause of such an exalted position. The mind can also get one a body like those of dogs and hogs. To absorb the mind always in Krishna consciousness is therefore the greatest perfection of human life. As long as we desire, this is text 78, to enjoy sense gratification, we create material activities. When the living entity acts in the material field, he enjoys the senses. And when enjoying the senses, he creates another series of material activities. In this way, the living entity becomes entrapped as a conditioned soul. And then 79, which is the final verse of Narada's teachings to Pachini Bahishat, his conclusion. Atastad apavardartam bhaja sarvatmana harim. Therefore, tat that apavara artam, to counteract. To counteract what? To counteract the living entities attaching itself through its desires to one material body after another. To counteract the mind becoming filled with the countless desires that tend to fill my mind, what to do to counteract that? Atastad apavardartam bhaja savatmana harim. That one should bhaja, engage in the devotional service. Sarva atmana, with all your senses, harim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's the Prabhupada's translation here. You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, so this is the actual reality of the material world, that there is nothing independent of Krishna. To be actually enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. And that is the conclusion of what Narada Muni has instructed to King Pachini Vahishaka. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Self-realization, understanding oneself as Brahman, or spirit soul, is very difficult in the material condition. Why is it difficult? Does anyone not know yet? But why is it difficult? Yes?
Because we are separated by the body.
The body? Why else? Thank you. Why else is it difficult? Yes. We don't want to. Why don't we want to? We're attached. We want something of this world. Any other reasons why it's difficult? Yes, bad habits.
And a false sense of proprietorship.
Yeah, why?
We are rebellious. We don't want to accept him as a master.
Yes. And we don't want to give up all the wonderful things that we possess in this world. We're attached. Why else?
Don't trust Krishna.
Don't trust Krishna. Put ourselves in Krishna's hands. What is that required for? Yeah, for Sharanagati. Yes, for surrender. We have to. Gotripte varanam tata. We have to be able to place ourselves. This is the angi, the main item, the full body of what Sharanagati is. It is placing oneself under Krishna's protection. Any other? Why? Yeah. Yeah. We don't know him very well. What? We don't know him very well. Yes.
We're also so well conditioned we don't even know what our habits are.
We don't even watch what we're doing. We don't know who we're stepping on now and then or what we're becoming attracted to or averse to. We don't even watch. We're not even conscious of our desires. We don't even know that we're desiring something. We don't, like the fish, doesn't know that he's in the water. And therefore the tendency towards self-delusion, the self-deluding tendency to not know what one is actually, is the strongest of illusions, practically speaking. And what's the cure for that? Tricky question. What is the cure for that tendency of lack of awareness? And yes. Yes. In one, yes. And then, and you also to live one's life. And what happens is one lives one's life and one becomes aware of one little piece or another piece. We get smashed by the material energy. Our attachment to the body, I've met so many people say that, I'm not attached to smoking cigarettes, for example, something very gross. But then, when do you find out that you are so attached? When you try to give it up, yes. So we don't even know how deeply attached and how much we are our body, dehatma buddhi. How deeply we're entangled in the body and all its desires until it's time to give it up. The politician, as Prabhupada gave the example, the foolish politician, is so attached. He thinks the whole thing will fall apart about me, without me, and he may become a dog in his next life. And so what if the whole thing falls apart without him? So what is the cure for this type of entangled delusion that we don't really even know what it is? Yes, we will get smashed. We will get some of the pieces of the puzzle. This is the way that the material nature works. It will, if just by being alive, we see that all our illusions, our dreams, we see pieces of them being crushed and smashed by the material energy. Is anyone good at mind reading and can figure out what I'm thinking of? Yes, acknowledge, but what's the step after some knowledge? So if we get knowledge, if we realize that, yes, I'm in so much illusion, then what's the next step? Yes, Trinada, peace, and Ichena. We have to become humble. And that has to precede Saranagati. And that will, if we become aware of just a little bit of our illusion and delusion, delusions of grandeur, we think we're so great. You see this with the dogs all around. They think they have, this is my territory. And if someone dares, especially another dog, that they won't tolerate. But if someone dares enter into their territory, they just become ferocious and bark and will kill even. This is a delusion of grandeur. They think they are big and important, and actually, they're just dogs. That's us. We're insignificant. And yet, we have such delusions of grandeur. And Krishna so kindly arranges the material nature to continuously shatter our illusion, which means, practically speaking, shattering our false ego, our false conception of our greatness, of our grandeur. Krishna has arranged the material world specifically to do this, to always shatter our false conceptions of ourselves, and we hate it. And we're always trying to manipulate the material world so we can forget, so that we don't have to become humble, so we don't, so we can avoid the surrender to Krishna, so we can avoid returning to our shelter, which is what Saranagati means. So Narada Muni's conclusion here is you will be able to see Krishna as the Supreme. He's ultimately controlling everything here. It is not you. It is not chance. It is Krishna. You are in His hands, whether you like it or not. You have to surrender. You may think, oh, I don't want to surrender. But we have to surrender. The forces of nature are too powerful. And that's one of the conclusions that Paranjana saw, and that each and every one of us will have to confront, and we are confronting it continuously, that things, they are out of our control. But they are not out of control, they are out of our control, and they are in ultimately Krishna's control. And if one's relationship with Krishna is natural and proper, and one is in His hands, the Suridam Sava Bhutanam, the dearest friend is the Sava Loka Maheshwaram, as described in this verse, then Shanti Mam. That person is the only person who could be at peace. Knowing this, Gyatva Mam. Knowing Krishna in this way, one can actually be peaceful in this world. Otherwise, it's not possible. Read Prabhupada's purport. Self-realization, understanding oneself as Brahman or spirit soul, is very difficult in the material condition. Why? Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya. This maya is so tricky. So tricky. It is empowered. Daivyesha. It is empowered by Krishna to disallow our escape. That's why it's so difficult. And whatever we try to use to get out, Maya will try to use that very same thing to keep us within the world. We'll shift it around and make us the center and the enjoyer of everything we try to use to get out of the material world that's given to us even. However, Prabhupada continues, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal Himself. In this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. We cannot see anything in the darkness of night, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world. Lord Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Shakta Mana Parta, and again, this is basically what Sanat Kumar told to Maharaj Prithu. Maya Shakti Manaparta Yoga Yunjam Marashraya Asamsayam Samagramam Yata Gikyasi Tatshunu. Now hear, O son of Prita Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, the mind has to become attached to Krishna. You can know me in full, free from doubt. Prabhupada continues, when we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintained by Him, annihilated by Him, and absorbed by Him. And what was that verse? I think you knew it, about one who is Krishna conscious knows everything. I only remember the last word, the bhavati. No? Yes. Yes. He knows everything because he knows Krishna and he sees everything in relationship with Krishna. He understands the material world's working. He understands the nature of Maya's working, understands the nature of the mind's working, of transmigration, all in relationship to Krishna. And he knows the process of getting out devotional service. Prabhupada concludes this purport saying, everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. Now Maitreya is going to end this pastime. Maitreya is speaking to whom? Vidura. And in that, he's describing Narada speaking to Puchini Bharishad. So the great sage Maitreya continued. The supreme devotee, the great saint Narada, thus explained to King Puchini Bharishad the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. And after giving an invitation to the king, Narada Muni left to return to Siddhaloka. There's not very much information about that and what that invitation was. But he left. Narada Muni gave his instructions and he left. So remember that Prachini Bharishat was performing these pious material activities, the Karmakandi activities, for the purpose of gaining unending material pleasure. And this is basically Karma Mamamsa philosophy taught by Dhanmani Rishi. How to gain so much piety that your pleasure will never end by following the Vedic processes. So Puchini Bharishat was doing that, but after Narada's teachings, in the presence of his ministers, the saintly King Puchini Bharhi left orders for his sons to protect the citizens by following, setting up the Vanashrama system, as is described in the purport by Vairagya Charja. The king then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a holy place known as Kapila Ashram, which is Ganga Sagar, Bay of Bengal. It's in Bangladesh side now, I think. And every year, there's a big, big festival there around Kapila Day, its appearance day. And so many sadhus go. But he went there to perform his austerities in Ganga Sagar. Prabhupada's purport in the next to last paragraph. It is significant that when Maharaj Puchini Bharishat was convinced of the goal of life through the instructions of Narada, he did not wait even a moment to see his sons return. The sons had gone out to perform austerities to prepare them for ruling. And that in itself, as we spoke of earlier, you spoke of that, I think, that is also significant because what was their qualification for ruling? They were performing austerities. That means learning detachment, detaching the mind from being despotic rulers who would rule for their sense enjoyment, for their own sense pleasure, Rather, they had duty to perform and to become qualified to perform that duty in the presence of so much material opulence. They performed austerities for thousands and thousands of years. But by Narada Muni's blessings, he wanted to see them become very deep devotees because they were descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, as was King Prachini Barishat. So Narada Muni had decided that he was going to liberate all the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. So he preached to King Prachini Barishat in this way. And the king had sent his sons, the Pachetas, the 10 Pachetas, out to perform austerities so they would come back and rule. And he wanted to wait for them to come back. But soon as he heard the instructions of Narada Muni, he immediately left. He did not wait even a moment to see his sons return, but left immediately, Prabhupada explains. There were many things to be done upon the return of his sons, but he simply left them a message. And that message was how to organize the kingdom, according to Vijayadwajacharya. Viragavacharya, how to organize the kingdom according to the principles of Vanashrama. He simply left them a message. He knew what his prime duty was. He simply left instructions for his sons and went off for the purpose of spiritual advancement. This is the system of Vedic civilization. 82. Having undergone austerities and penances at Kapilashrama, King Prachini Barhi attained full liberation from all material designations. What does it mean? Freedom from material designations? Yes, the Vinayamuktam, Tatvarupayam, Sevaram, Bhaktivijate. So to serve the Lord without identifying with any of the coverings over the soul, those 16 coverings of which comprise the subtle body, or the gross body, but to serve as a servant of Krishna, as an eternal servant, Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas, that is bhakti. So, he full liberation from all material designations. And this, after hearing this, as we'll hear in a moment, this is what removed all the designations from his consciousness. He understood from hearing from Narada Muni that he was a soul, that he wasn't all the attachments of his mind, he wasn't the plans that he had for enjoyment, which in the analogy or the allegory of Prachini Barishat was, who was it? His wife. His wife was his material intelligence, Paranjani. So nothing that existed in his mind was him. Neither the subtle senses or his plans or his attachments or his aversions. This had nothing to do with him. What to speak of his gross body. He just didn't identify with any of that, but he identified with being Krishna's. So, free from all material designations, he constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and attained a spiritual position qualitatively equal to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 83. My dear Vidura, Maitreya says, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, different from the gross body and different from the subtle body, as described by the great sage Narada, one who hears it or one who relates it to others will be liberated from the bodily concept of life. This narration, this is 84, spoken by the great sage Narada, is full of the transcendental fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world. It purifies the heart, the heart of the living entity, and it helps him attain his spiritual identity. This knowledge, the potency of this knowledge, is helpful. Because through the Paranjana pastime, we become detached from the gross bodily concept of ourself. Because what detaches us from it from hearing the story of Paranjana. The first thing that detaches us. What? Huh? I couldn't hear. Yeah, but very, very direct. Remember what happened to Paranjana. He was living the idyllic, romantic life. Paranjana, the great, handsome, powerful king, with his beautiful wife, having a city. So what detaches us from the... Yes, we should see the future. Through intelligence, we should see the future. We are all Paranjana, living in the city of the body. And what's going to happen to this wonderful body that we're so attached to and identify with? It's going to be crushed into the dust, the same dust. Return, dust thou art, and dust thou will always be, referring to the material body. It's going to go back into dust. It must. It's inevitable. It's assured. Dukalayama shashvatam. So therefore, why be attached to this? This narration awakens this type of bodily detachment in the heart, which is required for the development of attachment to Krishna. This narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world, or purifies the heart of the living entity, and helps him attain his spiritual identity by detaching him from the gross and subtle identities. And when we learn, we become detached from the gross body, it's horrible, but what helps, what causes the attainment of gross bodies? It's the all those desires that we hide from everyone, hidden away in the mind. And that forces us by the power of the laws of nature to take one gross body after another. So therefore the conclusion is that the identification with the gross body and the subtle body must both be given up. And what to speak of as we're not even aware of all those things that sit in the subtle body. So therefore, the conclusion is devotional service, the surrender, which requires the humility that was talked about, and other things as well. But that too. One who relates, it helps him attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander within this material world. Prabhupada's purport here, we'll read most of it, and then we'll read the final verse. As indicated in verse 79, which is 79, that everything is going on, the whole material world is going on under the control of Krishna, and to view this, one should engage in devotional service. So 84 Prabhupada says, as indicated in verse 79, Narada Muni advised King Puchini Barhi to take to devotional service rather than wasting his time performing ritualistic ceremonies and fruitive activities. The vivid descriptions of the subtle and gross bodies in this chapter are most scientific, and because they are given by the great sage Narada, they are authoritative. Because these narrations are full of the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they constitute the most effective process for the purification of the mind. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the more we talk of Krishna, think of Krishna, and preach for Krishna. Which three things did Prabhupada mention here? Talk of Krishna, think and preach for Krishna. The more we become purified. This means we no longer have to accept a hallucinatory, gross and subtle body. The hallucination is the identification of the gross and subtle body and all the desires that they entail with us. We no longer have to accept the hallucinatory, gross, and subtle body, but instead attain our spiritual identity. One who tries to understand this instructive spiritual knowledge is delivered from the ocean of nescience. And then the final verse. The allegory of King Paranjana, described herein according to authority, was heard by me from my spiritual master. And it is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved from the bodily conception and will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. Now, there are some extra verses on here that some of the acharyas have included in the Bhagavatam. I'd just like to read one of them. Remember that this is, I'll read two of them, 1b and 2b, which are supposed to go after, Prabhupada explains, after verse 79. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Prabhupada speaks about being merciful to others in his purport. In this verse, the word daya jiveshu, meaning mercy to other living entities, indicates that a living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in spiritual life. This is called, in grammatical terms, this is a conditional clause. If you want this, then you must do that. If you don't want this, then you don't have to do that. So what is the if? What is the thing that if you want in this sentence? If he wishes to make progress in self-realization, he must be merciful to other living entities. Then he must be merciful to other living entities. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is a spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Sarupoi Krishner Nityadas, every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes that he's an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings, Dushtamana Tumi Kushera Vaishnava Pratishtari Tare Niranjana Ghare Tava Hari Nama Kevala Kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. And Prabhupada had quoted that previously. In this way, people who do not preach are criticized. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who do not like preaching. They chiefly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep and think of women and money. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see to the interests of the mass of people or cannot recognize devotees is called a Kanishta Adhikari. Very strong words by Prabhupada. And then here, in the other verse that follows that one after 79, everything happening within time, this is also very, very heavy. Because notice the word everything. Everything. What is included within everything? Everything. So everything we see, not in this particular room, because we can see things of Vrindavan. But everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. Prabhupada's purport. Short purport. Factually, all of material existence is only a dream. Thus there is no question of past, present or future. Persons who are addicted to karma kanda vichar, which means working for future happiness through fruitive activities, are also dreaming. Similarly, past happiness, present happiness are merely dreams. The actual reality is Krishna and service to Krishna. So this is Bhagavad Dharma, placing Krishna in the center of our life, of our existence, with great devotion and love and faith. Not false ego means I am in the center. I am in the center, and I'm imagining that the whole that I am important in this whole thing, that the whole thing is revolving around me. How dare you not show me the respect I deserve? How dare you get angry at me? How dare you insult me? You don't understand that I'm the center of existence. It sounds so foolish, but that's how every living entity is thinking. Conditioned soul. But this is just dreaming. Working for future happiness through fruitive activities, also dreaming. Similarly, past happiness and present happiness are merely dreams. The actual reality is Krishna and service to Krishna, which can save us from the clutches of Maya. For the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Mamaiva ye papadyante maya metan tarantite." Those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond my illusory energy. So to the soul's giving himself to Krishna, engaged in Krishna's service, again, is surrender. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 29th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinibharisha. Now I wanted to read one other thing that, remember yesterday, and as Narayani Mataji, you were mentioning the thing that you remembered from yesterday's class was the full stock of one's karma can be shown all at once and viewed by the living entity, and then he sees them as they are, and then they're finished. And if you remember yesterday, I was thinking that reminded me of something that Prabhupada said, whether it's exactly parallel or not, but it was something similar. We looked for it, couldn't find it, but it was in a poem that Prabhupada wrote in Bengali in 1958. And when I looked at it, it's so much, the beginning of it especially, reminded me so much of the mood that the Paranjana story, pastime, actually allegory, evokes in the heart. It's sort of such a disgust, a distaste and disgust for material life. So it evokes that, and then plus more. And I would like to read it. I think it's a very fitting end to this pastime in my days of speaking about it. It's called Vrindavan Bhajan. This was written in 1958, and it's so interesting that Prabhupada termed it Vrindavan Bhajan, because when we think of Vrindavan Bhajan, we usually think of what Prabhupada described, someone sitting alone just with his beads in hand. But Prabhupada is going to speak in somewhat of a different mood about this. This was 1 year before he took sannyas, or in the year prior to his taking sannyas. So this is what Prabhupada says. I am sitting, so it's in Bengali and the translation is a bit rough, but it's still quite powerful. I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Yasyaham manugraham mi harishya tadanam shalai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand the mercy of the All-Merciful? Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving fathers and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Like froth, bubbles of the seawater, like the froth on the sea mixes again in the sea. Maya's samsara's play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain for a short time. Just as the froth on the seawater mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets with its destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all simply related to this temporal body. But everyone is your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform. This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relationship to Him, everyone in the universe is the same. All your relatives, brother, all the billions of jivas, when seen in relationship to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires for sense gratification, and as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. One who fights the war of life, knowing his true relationship, it's inevitable. Life is a war. Fifth canto calls it struggle for existence. Whether you're a devotee, non-devotee, aspiring devotee, this material world means struggle. But one who fights the war of life, knowing his true relationship, he will remain alive while others will perish. One who does not know his relationship and takes up some other path, he will never attain love of God and his whole life is useless. First, understand properly your relationship with Krishna. And then keeping that relationship, go and fight with Maya. Other than this, all the heroes of jnana and karma never attain liberation. They were all uncertain. In name only, they were great, sober, and unaffected men. They were all unpeaceful. Desiring liberation, sense gratification, or mystic powers, all had uncontrolled senses. The uncontrolled senses don't answer to the potency of yoga. How many yogis and munis there were, and always the senses remain independent. Without service of the master of the senses, there can be no sense control. They all return to material activities after a short term of peace. By the process of yoga, no one ever attained sense control. This is explained extensively in the Vedas and the Puranas. Vishwamitra sat on the yogic asana, but he desired the pure beauty of Shakuntala. In this way, the yogis fall down. What to speak of the jnanis and the karmis are all just asses, suffering in all respects. The one to whom Krishna is merciful and gives his instruction becomes equally as fortunate as Arjuna. But one who fights for his own happiness's sake, he, like Duryodhana, dies along with his family. one who always fights on behalf of Krishna, wealth, power, knowledge are all within his grasp. Understand properly the Gita's message. You will attain Krishna's service and will worship Sri Hari. The devotees are endowed with all qualities. So what are non-violence or freedom from anger to them? Sri Hari teaches the living entities by means of his devotees. One such helper is Partha. Arjuna acted just like a conditioned soul, like one bewildered was the Pandava brother. Violence to his relatives and then enjoyment of the kingdom. Could this be happiness, he thought? Arjuna then showed lamentation. This thought was all dehatma buddhi, identification with the body. And one who is a kshatriya gives up such family affection on the battlefield. The Vaishnavas can awaken the sleeping world. By their mercy, the sinful can all become devotees. This again was written in 1958. Therefore, they do not perform nirjana bhajan. That is the world's cheating process of the Kanishta Adhikari. All the big famous Vaishnavas were in assembly, and Padri Sahib came in to meet them. He asked some questions about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, but that association of venerable Vaishnavas was not able to enlighten him as to the real truth. I'm not sure what the reference here was, but right across from Krishna Balaram Mandir, there's a piece of land that now has buildings on it that we used to call the church land. And on it, there was a small chapel. And there was one priest here who was preaching, so at one point. And I'm not sure if that was, because Padri, of course, means father. And that is a typical thing that a Christian priest would ask about Krishna's Leela dancing with the wives of others in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada says, in that association, and Sahib means... But that association of venerable Vaishnavas was not able to enlighten him as to the real truth. The Kanista Adhikaris do not understand these scriptures. In the false pride, of being alone, they simply hunt for chapatis and dal. Our spiritual master said that these are all Kanistas. Now I can understand the truth of what he said. One well-versed in the scripture and who has strong faith is an Uttama Adhikari and can deliver the whole world. He is the deliverer of the most fallen and is famous through the world. Now, save this fallen one and thus become really famed. In the Kali Yuga, the Jivas are all fallen and the lowest of mankind. Seeing that they do not see the different activities, the Supreme Lord Gosunda is the most magnanimous, and his instructions are all full of nectar. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bharata should engage in welfare activities according to his instructions. The Supreme Lord's Leela was to relish mellows in the Nirjan, but it is not the play of Vaishnavas to imitate these activities. This transcendental service cannot actually be tasted by those who are not Vaishnavas. In the material body, one cannot relish this transcendental nectar. One who has the material concept that the body is his self cannot relish spiritual mellows. But those who have conceptions of the Vaishnavas in terms of birth, etc., are very bold when it comes to relishing the leelas of the Lord. Like the clerk in the post office, one caste goes Swami. The Babajis all pay their obeisances to him a lot. He's criticizing that mood. The Goswami Thakur has false pride in his birth, which Nityananda Prabhu cut to pieces. I see all these things going on in Vrindavan. Therefore, I can understand there is some work to be done there. The Prakriti Sahajiyas all commit adultery. Taking someone else's wife, they go to relish transcendental lila. This is not Vrindavan, as always think like this. As always, think like this, my dear mind. This is not Vrindavan, as always. Think like this, my dear mind. Remember the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis came and preached religious life. They saved the process of devotional service on the order of Lord Sri Chaitanya. They are all eternally perfect associates of the Lord and always remember Radha and Krishna. Remembering them, all the conditioned soul's sins are cleared away. But if he tries to imitate them, taking on their dress and characteristics, he becomes the plaything of Maya and does not cross over the material ocean. Always preach from Jiva's door to door. Your life will be successful as a result of your preaching. Sri Dayata Das Prabhu. Who is Sri Dayata Das Prabhu? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this instruction. Chant Hare Krishna loudly. This is my initiation. Kirtan is not just drums and kartals. The sound of kirtan is not this modern system. Anything favorable for devotional service is all Madhava. And the only enjoyer of the three worlds is Yadava. Maya's pride and joy, the radio sound, destroy them all by forceful kirtan. Maya is all these newspapers. Preach that throughout the whole world. Sitting alone in your room shouting, you may increase your bile secretion. But until 10 million births, Sri Hari won't be pleased. Sri Hari is no one's father's property. Come out of your cage. Stop making objection. Everything belongs to Sri Hari, and Sri Hari belongs to everyone. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra loudly. By the performance of such sankirtan, there will come remembrance automatically. Then there will be nirjan bhajan manifested in the heart spontaneously. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. It's been your association in these 9 weeks has given me life. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Vansha Kapachubhishtha.